Well, praise the Lord, Barbara. I am so glad that Jesus is Lord. He means exactly what he says. And when we start the story of creation in the Old Testament and God's relationship with man, we find troubles right at the very, very beginning of the story of the human race. And you've got some real insight on that about, well, what happened with Adam and Eve in the garden.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and after we have a prayer, I want to talk about what happened to man, and not only the pride that was involved, but everything to do with this sin that man committed has to do with problems that we have today. So we need to know what the beginning was like in order to understand the real power of attorney we have with Jesus.
In other words, when sin came in the human race, problems began, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Barbara and I agree here for this message to go forth, to touch our friends, our power partners, our listeners, and anyone who might pick up these messages and listen to them. Father God, that it would burrow deep down in their heart and they would have new revelation. We thank you for that. Lord, show us where we came from, where we are, and where we're going. And we thank you for that in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you for sending Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you for sending our Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for having the Bible transcribed as a written copy of God's relationship with man, the development of this relationship through the thousands and thousands of years that is so current this day, and it will never change. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, you know, when man committed this, and you call it high treason, and I like that name, Darren, because in this world, when people commit the crime of high treason, it is usually a death penalty. Even in third world countries, you commit high treason against the government, against the person that's in control or has command of whatever is going on. You commit high treason and you're gone. You're out of here. And it's the same with man in the garden. He was given everything that he needed to have a perfect life. And when temptation came through the guise of Satan, who was a serpent in the garden, man gave in to it. I really appreciate what Dr. Dake said about the sin of doubt came in with Eve. She doubted what God had told her.
Now, how did Satan present that to Eve? When he got her to doubt, how did he present that to her?
He said, oh, you won't die if you touch this tree. God gave them a command, and they could have control of the whole garden. Man was in control of the absolute whole garden, except there was one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that God says, I don't want you eating of that tree. There was fruit on that tree, and he says, I don't want you eating of it. But when Satan came to Eve with this temptation, he says, don't you know that you will be as gods if you touch this? He was misquoting the word. He was abusing the word that God had given to Eve. He was causing doubt to enter into her mind and pride then to take over and saying, you know what? I won't be hurt. I won't die if I just touch this.
You know, I think it's very interesting. Satan didn't make a statement to her. He gave her a question.
That's right.
He started getting her mind to question, yes. And he does the same thing today, but he says,
he does.
Indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. Now he's getting her to think. And many times we need to stop that process right up at the beginning and say, you're out of here, Satan. We're not going to entertain your questions. We're not going to debate with you. That's very dangerous, by the way, to debate with the devil, mm-hmm. because he will give you questions and he will lead you down the primrose path. And that doubt will end up a fear, and fear will end up an unbelief, and that is a sin.
That's right. And a lot of our friends, Darren, and those of you who are listening today, you have been tempted to believe something other than the Word of God. And that's exactly what the devil does. He comes to us, and he just puts a little temptation that we may question the validity of the Word of God, which is truth, Darren.
Very good,
but see,
very
Satan,
good.
Satan wants to come in and destroy that confidence we have in the Word. And boy, if he has us questioning or doubting any part of the Word of God, Darren, he's got a big stronghold, or foot in the door here.
Very well said. You know, Barbara, part of this teaching is going to be directed to getting your vision and getting it clear. And one of the things that the devil likes to do is keep us off balance, keep us over there in fear, doubt, and unbelief, and going around chasing our tail, asking dumb questions. Folks, you would be amazed at some of the questions that we receive in the mail.
Mm.
I mean, questions you say, where in the world, how long did it take them to think up this question? Who have they been listening to?
I know. Who have they
What's
been talking
on?
To? That's right.
And I mean, you have to stop and just say, some days we just shake our head and say, where did that come from? Now, the reason we get some of those strange questions is that people don't yet know the Word well enough, which, of course, is part of our agenda here, is get the Word of God in your heart. But when you get into fear, doubt, and unbelief, then all of a sudden you start entertaining another world, in other words, the evil spirit world, as one of your counselors. Mm-hmm. And the devil is always there trying to chisel away at your confidence in the Lord, your confidence in yourself, your confidence in the Word. Well, did God really mean that? Well, here he started back the way back in Genesis 3. The devil was tormenting Adam and Eve. Well, did God really mean that? Is he really going to, are you really sure? Is that really what he meant? Mm-hmm. That you're going to die if you eat of this tree, of this particular tree?
Yes. And Satan also in the process said in verse 5 of Genesis 3, he said, God knows that if you eat this tree, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So here is the foundation for all false religions in the whole world. The very foundation of all false religions is you shall be as gods. And most of the cults and false religions put man as the on the throne of his life as God.
Or the center, man is the center of the universe.
That's right. And one thing you said, Darren, while we were talking about this teaching today, is that when sin came into man, he had a sin consciousness. God consciousness was taken away. See, when our world is together and it's wonderful and we're in the Word of God, we aren't the center. It's God who becomes the center. And those of you who are listening, that's why you know that if you listen to Darren and Barbara long enough, you're going to see us saying, get into the Word, get into the Word, get into the Word. Why? Because it takes the focus off of your self-consciousness. See, what Satan wants is for you to be so focused and obsessed with your own personal life that you get caught up in a trap of thinking only of yourself. That is a self-identity, and that's ruinous. It's a self-consciousness. And here, Adam and Eve, because of their sin, went from a God consciousness, which is pure and good. You know, it says in Philippians 4:8, Darren, think on those things that are good and pure and of a good report and are kind and all these wonderful things.
Well, now what that unbelief does, Barbara, and that doubt is it perverts your focus.
Yes, it sure
does. Which is what
does.
You're talking about.
Yes.
It destroys your focus. It destroys your ability to be single-minded because you've got other broadcasts that you're listening to, and the devil's playground is in your imagination, in your mind. So he's going to bring along all kinds of scenarios that are false, all kinds of things. And if you buy into it, if you don't fight him with the Word, and you won't fight him with the Word if you don't know the Word, and the Word, folks, is the only thing that will defeat that attack on you.
That's right.
And he is after your imagination to get you to imagine all kinds of things. So a question planted in your mind, well, now, did God really mean this? Well, then all of a sudden you spiral down, and you start thinking, well, I wonder if I really can trust the Lord. Am I really on my own? Mm-hmm. Do I have to make all my own decisions? Am I responsible for all of this? And then fear enters the situation in your mind, and here you go, round and round and round, and more questions and more reason and more doubt, and it's a mess.
It's the big I complex.
That's right.
It's all surrounding you. And what we need to get our focus on is God. And Darren, this crime that occurred, and I call it a crime because I love your word high treason. It's a word that connotes a great crime against the one in charge. And God is in charge. And I believe he wants us to submit only to the fact that he is our covering and he is our protection. And when we go out from under that covering, great, horrible, horrendous things can happen. God here is such a loving God, and instead of killing us outright, like if we commit that crime today, we're dead meat in the world, in the natural sense. But here, when we sinned, when we came against God, death came upon us. Death in the spirit, death in the flesh, and death in our minds. That was the punishment. Well, immediately God got on a different on a plan. Darren, immediately when he saw that man had committed this crime, he says, man, I got to have a plan to get him out of this because I love him. I don't want him to die.
Now let's explain something here, though. After Adam and Eve sinned, Adam lived several hundred years. I think he lived 900 more years.
That's right.
Physically. Where he died was in the spirit. He died in his relationship to God. He no longer had that divine hookup with God that he could walk right into God's presence because now he's a sinner.
That's right.
Now he has a sin nature, And that's something you really need to remember. He has